The following news flash is brought to you by the Lone Star Lowdown. Markets for Wednesday, the 21st of December, 2016, are currently trading with gold at $1,131.46 an ounce, silver $15.92 an ounce, Texas crude $52.23 a barrel, and Bitcoin has been steadily rising and is currently sitting at about 822 U.S. currency. Today in history, the year 1919, the American anarchist Emma Goldman is deported to Russia. The Labor Department deported her and 249 aliens and citizens en masse, mostly because of their vague associations with radical anarchist groups. This was carried out under the Anarchist Exclusion Act and its 1918 expansion. Today in history. In recent news, a member of the capital of Turkey's Ankara's Turkish riot police squad fatally shot Russia's ambassador to Turkey, Andrei Karlov, in front of a photo exhibit on live TV Monday earlier this week. He spent the next few minutes pacing near the body, shouting about Aleppo in Turkish, and yelled Allah Akbar, and in Arabic stated that we are the descendants of those who supported the Prophet Muhammad for jihad. He was later killed in a shootout with police, while three other people were wounded in the attack, authorities stated. This political fiasco happened a day before foreign and defense ministers from Turkey, Russia, and Iran were set to meet in Moscow for a meeting on Syria. Vladimir Putin described the killing of Karlov as an attempt, quote, to thwart a peace process in Syria, which Russia, Turkey, and Iran have been actively trying to promote. In a video message shown on several Turkish TV channels, Erdogan said, quote, this is a provocation to damage the normalization process of Turkish-Russian relations, but both the Russian and the Turkish administrations have the determination not to fall for this provocation. President Obama withdrew hundreds of millions of acres of federally owned land in the Arctic and Atlantic Ocean from new offshore oil and gas drilling yesterday on Tuesday, citing his right to do so under the Outer Continental Shelf Lands Act. In addition, similar steps are being taken by Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau to shield large areas of the nation's Arctic waters from drilling as well. The White House said in a statement that, quote, these actions and Canada's parallel actions protect a sensitive and unique ecosystem that is unlike any other region on the Earth. They reflect the scientific assessment that even with the high safety standards that both of our countries have put in place, the risk of an oil spill in this region are significant and our ability to clean up from a spill in the region's harsh conditions is limited. It is yet to be seen whether the Trump administration will reverse this effort. This was Rick Rohde with your lowdown for December 21st, 2016.
Hi, you're tuned to Truth News Radio Australia on the 13th of May 2017. I'm your host, Harold Fenton, and I'm going to be with you for the next hour. Well, I've got a bunch of stories to run through today, and I'm going to lead with my personal take and a very opinionated kind of talk, I might say, about the pie attack on the CEO of Qantas, Alan Joyce. Because this event that occurred just a couple of days ago is very important, and it symbolises something that's going on in our society right now, and a backlash against that, which is largely ignored in media and is the subject of a lot of confusion by many people who don't really understand the issues, haven't grasped what is actually going on with the full scope of LGBTIQ plus political activism in Australia and why there is a political backlash brewing against that. And believe me, folks, the backlash is really there. It's really brewing. But if you were to look at the media, if you were to gauge it by just sort of asking people in a typical work setting, or you know, where people are under a significant amount of social peer group pressure, you'd think that it doesn't exist, because most people who have views which are perhaps divergent from what the socially sanctioned attitudes are, won't even express them. They might think about them quietly, you know, on their own, but they won't even talk about it. And this is the hallmark of a situation, really, which is quite oppressive. And it's ironic, really, isn't it? Because, this fear of actually speaking out, being characteristic of totalitarian societies, occurs in a society like Australia, where, in fact, free speech and diversity and multiculturalism, these concepts are all kind of fused together into a belief that many people have, and which is sort of projected by the mainstream media, that we are free by definition, you know. But in reality, we are free to express opinions that don't ruffle too many feathers. And we're expected to engage in self-censorship at every turn. And in fact, if we don't engage in self-censorship and we get too opinionated, we actually run the risk not just of being criticised, but we can actually be prosecuted. There are vilification laws in place to protect our groups, religions, and minorities, and people of certain sexual orientations that can come down on you like a ton of bricks if you say the wrong thing on a public forum. And believe me, it really happens. I've had people on my show who've experienced that, who are not hateful people. But the laws are in place, and like with any law, it's a very blunt instrument. And so people can say things that are in good faith, that they genuinely believe, but another person can interpret that in a certain way. And then under the particular statutes, particularly in New South Wales, where we have some of the most punitive anti-discrimination statutes in place, that individual can be hauled before a court and be subjected to quite severe penalties. And it can even get to the point of criminal penalties. If, for example, you don't obey a court order, you can be in contempt of court, and you can actually go to prison for being in contempt of court. So although most of the procedures are civil, it does get into criminal matters. It also gets into criminal matters when the crimes of vilification arise. And so there is a sort of gradation between discrimination and vilification, but vilification actually becomes a criminal act. And there are some matters actually which are ongoing in the ACT courts at the moment in relation to vilification, which I won't get into in this show, but the defendant in this case is someone who's been subjected to many, many complaints from the Anti-Discrimination Board in relation to his views on homosexuality. But the next stage now is that because he also made some comments about a fringe religious group in Australia, he's also being hauled before the courts for religious vilification. And again, I'm not a big supporter of this individual, and I don't think a lot of what he's done is solid at all. But I merely raise this to reemphasise the point that there is a very strong culture of self-censorship, which is practiced in Australia. And when you have a view that's not acceptable, if you express it, you're likely to be ridiculed quite severely. You're likely to be told you're very bigoted, and particularly in relation to these LGBTIQ plus issues. I mean, we've got to use that full acronym there to understand that it really is the full acronym now, folks. It's not just about you being tolerant of homosexual people. I mean, that was 30 years ago. You know, that was back in the 70s, right? Now, the incident with the pie, in which Alan Joyce, CEO of Qantas, was pied in the face by an activist, is all about these LGBTQI plus issues, and more specifically about gay marriage, same-sex marriage, which the individual is opposed to, and sees the CEO of Qantas, who's been a vocal supporter and has made Qantas the corporation tied to this political position on LGBTIQ+. He's tied Qantas publicly to the issue very militantly of being pro-gay marriage. And the protester sees that as a hypocritical position, or maybe not exactly hypocritical, I'm not quite sure what the word is, but using his position of power to push a political agenda, but using his political power through the power of a corporation to push a political agenda. Now, there is another organisation, a very large hospitality organisation, whose name I've forgotten. You know, it's very frustrating when you do radio shows and you're all charged up to talk about something and one particular bit of information just disappears from your brain. There is a very large hospitality online website system that's very big all around the world that that is also on board with aggressively promoting, militantly promoting same-sex marriage in Australia, and it will pop back into my mind in a minute. But I merely say this so that you can understand that that this issue of large corporations promoting the same-sex marriage agenda, and believe me, this is just a portal. This is just a gateway into a whole range of other issues. It certainly doesn't stop at same-sex marriage. This does represent a form of political muscle, a form of lobbying that these people have undue influence. I mean, they control advertising. They have a huge footprint in the media. And those who are opposed to same-sex marriage, they have very little voice. You know, there aren't large corporations that can spruik for them. They don't have access to large amounts of funds to do advertising, to explain to the general public why indeed their position on this is justifiable, rational, and fair, and not discriminatory or not driven by hatred. And indeed, there are many gay people who are actually opposed to same-sex marriage. And this is almost completely ignored in the mainstream media. You'll find it if you search for it. If you put that search term into Google, you will find there's been a lot of people come forward. There's been groups, there's been conferences. And the gay people who are against same-sex marriage have an argument which is very similar to the non-gay people who are against same-sex marriage, in that they recognise that marriage between a man and a woman has a sacred special meaning in society, and they don't want to disrupt that. You know, and these are people who are not generally part of that militant political milieu of which to which Alan Joyce presumably belongs, who see this as a political struggle wherein they must conquer as much territory as possible and must win at all costs and must change society and must do so by actually rewriting laws and basically conquering Western society and enforcing their new cultural norms into schools and into language. I mean, these are all the classic things that are done by conquering forces. When a country invades another country, when Japan invaded Korea in the lead up to World War II, they forced the people in school to speak Japanese. They forced them to stop using Korean cultural norms. They forced them to adopt the norm of the conquering culture. And so what's happening within society in Western cultures at the behest of these very, very militant political groups is that they are attempting to conquer heterosexual society, what they call cisgendered heterosexual, heteronormative society. They want to crush it, and they want to replace it with a new system. And in many respects, it's a new type of religion, because it has, I mean, it implies a whole different worldview, a whole different way of seeing the individual, perceiving the individual, the way society is structured, the way the family is structured. It's a change to everything. It's a revolution, or an invasion, or a form of conquering of Western society. We're going to break. Stay with us. Truth News Radio Australia.
Dang, cookies.
Cookie? Me love cookies.
Oh, hi, Cookie Muncher. No, these are yucky cookies.
Cookies? Yucky? No bad cookies.
You can't even eat these cookies. These are cyber cookies.
No, can't eat?
No, they are cyber cookies and they clog up your computer.
These have apple.
Really? Oh, that's an actual apple.
Yummy apple.
I'm going to throw away these yucky cookies in the trash. I click Control, Shift, Delete, and then scroll down to Cookies and clear them.
Bye-bye, yucky cookies.
Now, I go to logosradionetwork.com and I click on the Amazon box on the upper right-hand side, bookmark the link, and I can go to Amazon through this link and order you some yummy new cookies.
New cookies? For me?
Consider it an early Christmas present. And every time I order on Amazon, I go through this link and I give a little present to this radio network, too. C is for cookie.
C is for classified.
Are you being harassed by debt collectors with phone calls, letters, or even lawsuits? Stop debt collectors now with the Michael Maris Proven Method. Michael Maris has won 6 cases in federal court against debt collectors, and now you can win too. You'll get step-by-step instructions in plain English on how to win in court using federal civil rights statutes, what to do when contacted by phone, mail, or court summons, how to answer letters and phone calls, how to get debt collectors out of your credit report, how to turn the financial tables on them and make them pay you to go away. The Michael Maris Proven Method is the solution for how to stop debt collectors. Personal consultation is available as well. For more information, please visit ruleoflawradio.com and click on the blue Michael Maris banner, or email michaelmaris@yahoo.com. That's ruleoflawradio.com, or email michaelmiras@yahoo.com to learn how to stop debt collectors now.
Men and women of Earth, may I have your attention? This is Herewood Fenton, host of Truth News Radio Australia. You're invited to join the info war as we work to restore truth in media and challenge the dark forces which now dominate mainstream news. I'm calling on you, valued listener, to use your hard-earned dollars to help us smash the globalist empire. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe today. Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. Now, I was at pains there in the last segment to really emphasize the militant nature of what's going on. And I know many listeners, many people in Australia understand what I'm talking about completely. But there are so many who have absolutely no idea what I'm talking about, that it's scary. And they would almost laugh at what I've just said and think I'm being ridiculous and think I'm over-exaggerating. And so it's really important to actually just once again reiterate the facts about what is going on with the LGBTIQ plus insurgency into Australian society. I've mentioned already the extremely strict and harsh legal statutes that are in place, which can basically act on as a chilling effect on anyone who wants to express their opinion, simply to express their opinion in a public format. And I'm always very careful on this show to emphasize the fact that I'm not against people being gay. I respect and tolerate homosexual people 100%. But these statutes that are in place can catch you if you're not very careful to always stipulate that. If there are aspects of the behavior of these people, of a certain group of people, right, that you disapprove of, they can catch you for discrimination or even vilification there. And this happened within the Catholic Church, because you see, the Church has a view on homosexuality that it is sinful. Now, I'm not a Catholic and I'm not a Christian, but I have respect for Christianity as I have respect for every major religion. And I have respect for the beliefs that people hold, not just because they're major religions. I have respect for people. I respect people. I'm not a fascist, right? I don't just want to slam my boot down on people's faces because they don't follow my group ideology. So the Catholic Church, along with most of the Christian churches, see homosexuality as a sin. But being a sin, it doesn't mean that they're vilifying those who are the sinners, because we're all sinners in Christian theology. We're all sinful in various ways. Homosexuality is just one of those many ways in which you can be sinful. But this has been the object of a great hatred and militancy on the part of pro-LGBTIQ plus groups in Australia. And they want to crush the church. They want to smash traditional Christianity into tiny little pieces. And they want to obliterate and destroy and remove forever any idea that homosexuality is sinful. And they believe they're entitled to do that, and they sort of feel this moral justification. You can see them swelling up with kind of moral righteous pride when they talk about it, because they say, no, these churches, you know, they said we're bad and we're not bad. You know, how dare they? And this, ladies and gentlemen, is where it gets complicated and where you have to actually try a little bit harder to understand what's going on in society, to understand the difference between discrimination, vilification, what these terms properly, legally mean, why they were used, why they've been put into law, and the views of a religion. And you have to be mindful of the fact that religions that observe the separation of church and state are operating within the realm of what we have for hundreds of years recognized as being a pluralistic, tolerant society, where we tolerate other people's views and practices. So Christian churches can say that you're a sinner because you're a homosexual, but they can't put you in prison for being a homosexual. The legal system and the religious framework are separate. The religious system is something that you engage in voluntarily and which has no control over the legal framework other than that there are certain aspects that are universal in common law that most religions subscribe to that are also in common law. So, for example, murder, the killing of another individual without justification for self-defense, is considered wrong and sinful and is also against the law. But of course, there are many exceptions to that. And indeed, there are many debates about the death penalty as to whether is the death penalty valid or not. And certainly in Australia, it was extinguished many decades ago. Now, this, of course, is very important when we look at Islam and the rise of Islam in the West, because Islam has certain tendencies or trends that tend to blur the distinction between church and state. And many within Islam want to be able to use the religion to drive the legal system. And we should oppose that. We should say, no, that's your religion. You've got to adhere to the respect of the separation of church and state. Now, Christians, on the whole, I know there are exceptions, but they've come to accept and to be more tolerant of people's practices, and there isn't a huge force in Christianity that would seek to bring in punitive laws like we had in the past in relation to homosexuality. I know that those people exist, right? And I don't support them. But the more enlightened Christians and the ones who are probably deeper in the faith do understand that this question of sin and absolution is not something which should be handed over to the courts. It's not a legal matter. It's a matter of your own personal spiritual development. But the lobbyists of the LGBTIQ plus movement, they want to deny the right of that religious viewpoint to even exist. They just want to expunge it. They want to erase it from history. They're very adamant about it. And so what we're seeing is, ironically, in this age of multiculturalism, of diversity, we're seeing this this incredible intolerance. And it really is ironic, and I don't know how many people actually even grasp what's going on, the paradox of it. But those who are using diversity as a sort of platform, and those who used it in the 1970s for gay rights, are now using the same platform to crush the rights of religious people. We're going to break with Truth News Radio Australia. It's great to be with you. Don't go away.
is. Which is a better deal, a super-sized coffee at the regular price or the normal size at a discount? I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and I'll fill you in on the sneaky tricks retailers use to reel in your money in a moment.
Privacy is under attack. When you give up data about yourself, you'll never get it back again. And once your privacy is gone, you'll find your freedoms will start to vanish too. So protect your rights. Say no to surveillance and keep your information to yourself. Privacy, it's worth hanging on to. This message is brought to you by StartPage.com, the private search engine alternative to Google, Yahoo, and Bing. Start over with StartPage.
Love a bargain, but a new study says we're not so good at spotting one. Turns out we're suckers for bigger sizes at regular prices, even when a discount would be better. Researchers made two offers on coffee beans, 33% extra for free or 33% off the price. The discount was by far the better deal, but the volunteers saw them as equal. So why do shoppers go for the bigger size instead of the size that saves them the most money? Mostly because we're bad at fractions. My advice is to compare the unit prices on store shelves, polish your math skills, and beware of marketers' sneaky tricks. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht for StartPage.com, the world's most private search engine.
HempUSA.org has moved and expanded its operations for faster worldwide shipping. Our product line has grown from 5 to nearly 100 items in less than 5 years. Our food is grown naturally, always chemical-free, not found in stores. Great for daily intake and perfect for your emergency storage shelter. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you.
Rule of Law Radio is proud to offer the Rule of Law Traffic Seminar. In today's America, we live in an us-against-them society. And if we, the people, are ever going to have a free society, then we're going to have to stand and defend our own rights. Among those rights are the right to travel freely from place to place, the right to act in our own private capacity, and most importantly, the right to due process of law. Traffic courts afford us the least expensive opportunity to learn how to enforce and preserve our rights through due process. Former Sheriff's Deputy Eddie Craig, in conjunction with Rule of Law Radio, has put together the most comprehensive teaching tool available that will help you understand what due process is and how to hold courts to the rule of law. You can get your own copy of this invaluable material by going to ruleoflawradio.com and ordering your copy today. By ordering now, you'll receive a copy of Eddie's book, The Texas Transportation Code, The Law Versus the Lie, video and audio of the original 2009 seminar, hundreds of research documents, and other useful resource material. Learn how to fight for your rights with the help of this material from ruleoflawradio.com. Order your copy today, and together we can have the free society we all want and deserve.
Hi, welcome back, you're at Truth News Radio. Well, it's time to move on. I want to talk about some other topics today. I want to talk about universal basic income. I've mentioned this a few times before on the show, but I want to talk about it in the context of what's going on in Australia right now with the new budget, with the crackdown on things like drug use, in among the unemployed, and also increasingly draconian measures to force welfare recipients who have families to get their kids vaccinated. But I want to go back to talking about universal basic income, which is being touted now all over the world as the great new thing that we're heading to in Western societies. And this would be a situation where everyone gets income, right? Doesn't matter whether you rich or poor, whether you have a job, whether you don't have a job, everyone gets this basic money, right? The government just basically hands out money to you. Now, I've got an article here from The Independent. Finland's universal basic income trial for unemployed reduces stress levels, says official. The pilot scheme is indirectly benefiting people's mental health, says Mar Jukla Turunen of Finland's Social Insurance Agency. Citizens receiving a basic monthly income as a part of a radical Finnish pilot scheme have seen a reduction in their stress levels, an official leading the trial has said. The first of its kind in Europe, the scheme sees 2,000 people receive 560 euros every month for 2 years. Recipients do not have to report whether they are seeking employment or how they are spending the money, which is deducted from any benefits they are already receiving. Majuka Turunen, head of KELA, the legal unit at Finland's Social Insurance Agency, said as well as cutting bureaucracy, reducing costs, and tackling poverty, the scheme was having an indirectly positive effect on people's mental health. There was this one woman who said, "I was afraid every time the phone would ring that unemployment services are calling to offer me a job." The woman was not able to work because she was caring for elderly parents. She added, "This experiment really has an indirect impact also on the stress levels of people and the mental health and so on." Under the pilot, if a participant finds work, they will continue to receive the stipend, easing claimants' fears that they will lose out by finding employment. The problem of refusing work because people feel better off on benefits is particularly acute under Finland's generous and complex social security system. The trial is part of measures introduced by the centre-right government to tackle Finland's unemployment problem. Now, what they're doing in Finland is interesting. I'll certainly give you that. And if you had a benevolent government who was willing to just hand out money without putting conditions on it, I think that it could actually be a positive thing. But there are still huge gotchas to get around, aside from the whole aspect of whether that will motivate people and what people will do with that money and whether that will tend to make people more lazy. There is a big problem with just injecting fiat currency that's created by the wave of a magic wand into the economy, because as we know, money is meant to be a representation of something real. You don't just sort of create it out of thin air and give it to people. That tends to devalue money itself. But let's put that aside and let's just talk about the social issue, right? Because unemployment, it's a big problem in Australia. And wouldn't it be nice if the government just said, "Look, we're just going to, you're all going to go on the dole. You don't have to report to us. You don't, if you get a job, we'll keep paying you, right? So you don't have to be afraid of losing the benefit because you got a job. No, you'll just keep getting the money, right?" And you know what? It might actually work. It might actually relieve a lot of people of that stress. And there might be a way to balance the budget while doing that. But there is another danger, ladies and gentlemen. And the danger is one which is pretty obvious. But it increases the level of dependency, the psychological dependency that people are going to have on the government, of turning to the government to receive the handout, like a child, like a baby turning to the mother's breast to get the milk. And when you're a child, that's completely normal and correct. You know, that's children need to be fed and clothed and housed up to a certain age, but then they become adults. And when they become adults, they're expected to take care of themselves. But the principle here at work, the underlying principle, and this is what we've got to really focus on, is one of sort of extending childhood, really. It's basically saying you're going to be a child for the rest of your life. And don't worry, the government's just always going to feed you. You know, we're just going to give you food. We're going to give you money. Don't worry. Is that healthy? I mean, do you think that's really going to help people? Is that what people need? Is that what the long-term unemployed need? And it gets worse because although you might have one government that's very benevolent and you know, just basically does this out of the goodness of its heart, another government might come along and say, well, you know what, we should probably put a few conditions on this, you know. Because in order to help people more, and this is the trend that we see in Australia, where in fact there are more and more conditions being put on your ability to receive this money. And it's not just about, having a diary and showing that you've applied for X number of jobs every week. That was the original set of sort of conditions and hurdles that people had to jump over that was put in place about 20 or 30 years ago to try and prompt people to get work. And, you know, it sounds reasonable, doesn't it? If you get in the unemployment benefit, you've got to show you made some effort to get a job, so you've got to show to us, you know, where you've been applying for work, right? And they brought in various stricter forms of that, and they brought in like a diary where you had to fill that out. I did that once. I was on it for a few months here and there, of course, people fudged it. You know, it was very rarely checked, and although also they brought in another requirement, which is that you had to get like a separation certificate from a company you'd worked for. So if you wanted to get the dole and you said, well, I worked for this company last year, you had to show them that you had worked for them. And so a lot of people didn't have it. And then they would have to go back to the company they worked for and say, can you please give me the separation certificate? And, you know, that's very humiliating, especially maybe if you've been sacked or whatever. You know, it's not something that people want to do. But again, we can sort of accept that because, look, the government is giving you something for nothing and you just got to show that you've made that effort, right, to do your bit. But it doesn't stop at that, folks. The government now is going to start randomly drug testing unemployment recipients. And again, you know, they say this is wonderful and this is to help them, right? Because people who are taking illicit drugs, you know, are undermining their ability to find work, and that's no good. And after all, we're giving you something for free. So you should recognise that this is for your own good. We love you. And that's pretty much what Malcolm Turnbull said. And I'll read to you from that article in a minute. We're going to break. You with Truth News Radio Australia. Be right back.
Hello, my name is Stuart Smith from naturespureorganics.com, and I would like to invite you to come by our store at 1904 Guadalupe Street, Suite D, here in Austin, Texas, behind Brave New Books and Chase Bank, to see all our fantastic health and wellness products with your very own eyes. Have a look at our miracle healing clay that started our adventure in alternative medicine. Take a peek at some of our other wonderful products, including our Australian emu oil, lotion candles, olive oil soaps, and colloidal silver and gold. Call 512-264-4043 or find us online at naturespureorganics.com. That's 512-264-4043, naturespureorganics.com. Don't forget to like us on Facebook for information on events and our products. naturespureorganics.com.
Are you the plaintiff or defendant in a lawsuit? Win your case without an attorney with Jurisdictionary, the affordable, easy-to-understand 4-CD course that will show you how in 24 hours, step by step. If you have a lawyer, know what your lawyer should be doing. If you don't have a lawyer, know what you should do for yourself. Thousands have won with our step-by-step course, and now you can too. Jurisdictionary was created by a licensed attorney with 22 years of case-winning experience. Even if you're not in a lawsuit, you can learn what everyone should understand about the principles and practices that control our American courts. You'll receive our audio classroom, video seminar, tutorials, forms for civil cases, pro se tactics, and much more. Please visit ruleoflawradio.com and click on the banner or call toll-free 866-LAW-EASY.
What happens in terms of creating wars is a mind manipulation technique called problem-reaction-solution. And it works like this. First of all, you create the problem, but you get someone else to be blamed for it. You then report that problem through the media in the way you want it reported. You get the public to react to your problem by saying something must be done, this can't go on, what are they going to do about it?
Hi, welcome back, you're with Truth News Radio. Federal Budget 2017. Malcolm Turnbull says welfare drug test policy is based on love. Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull says drug testing welfare recipients and potentially managing their spending is a policy based on love. The coalition will drug test 5,000 new Centrelink clients, and those who test positive will be forced onto an income management scheme which controls how a recipient spends their money. Young people deemed to be at risk of substance abuse will be required to undertake random saliva, urine, or hair follicle tests for drugs in 3 locations from next year. The proposal has been slammed by anti-poverty activists who say it is a discriminatory move that will profile vulnerable people. Greens leader Richard Di Natale has described it as a violation of human rights. That's the same Richard Di Natale who vigorously supports totalitarian punitive laws which force well-meaning parents to get their kids vaccinated, which I'm going to get onto in a minute. So, you know, the poisonous forked tongue of Richard Di Natale carries no weight with me. But there is a problem here. And the problem is more interesting than it may initially appear when you understand that the measures that are going to be put in place, if a person is found to have tested positive for drugs, they're going to be put on this welfare quarantining system. And this could be the covert agenda behind the whole plan, because the welfare quarantining system has already been in place in a number of parts of Australia, and it has been expanding into different areas, and it involves using a new type of credit card. It's a cashless credit card. It was originally called the Basics card. I'm not sure if they've changed it, but it was originally brought in the Northern Territory as a part of a government plan to deal with problems of poverty and child exploitation and many issues, that was part of what was called the Northern Territory intervention. And this is like 10 years ago now. And one of the measures that they brought in was this what they called the Basics card, which meant that instead of giving you cash, they would give you a card which you can only use in select shops, like large supermarkets, basically, which allows you to buy stuff But it restricts you from buying things that are bad for you, such as alcohol and cigarettes, right? Because there was a problem with the Aboriginal community with alcohol. So, two aspects to it here. The first is the motive to control people to a larger degree. And as I was saying before, if you've got a government that's going to be genuinely open and benevolent and wants to say to the people, look, we will give you money every month and it's up to you what you do with it. I think there is something positive to be said about that. But once you put a system like that in place, a government next year or in 10 years' time is going to change that policy. And they're going to put more conditions on why you should be able to receive the money. It's inevitable. It's part of human nature. It's part of the way government operates, that they tend to gravitate towards having more power and control. Now, there's another story along similar lines. It's not directly in relation to unemployment benefits, but it's in relation to government subsidies. And this is the laws, the no jab, no pay laws in relation to vaccination, which were brought in a couple of years ago now. But they've been expanded, ladies and gentlemen. And I do have a link here. Just waiting for that to open. Oh, it's gone to one of these paywall pages and now I'm not allowed into it, even though I was just looking at it 5 minutes ago. I'll try another one of my links. This is a very nasty effect of the paywall, the paid access that they've brought in for so many news corporation websites. As you look at a website once and you come back to it, you want to look at it again, suddenly you're not allowed in. Anyway, topic for another day. Anyway, we hear from the Herald Sun, Budget 2017. Canberra's $15 million plan to boost immunisation. Families who fail to immunise their children and who do not get a health check on their four-year-olds will lose $28 a fortnight from their family tax benefit payments. The measure is designed to improve Australia's immunisation rate, but the government is banking on saving $15 million over the next 4 years as a result of the measure. The problem is expected to deliver a financial hit to anti-vaccination campaigners. However, families who forget to immunise their children or get a health check can catch up with their shots and begin claiming the lost family tax benefits immediately. The government will also spend $5 million promoting the benefits of immunisation in areas like the far north coast of New South Wales, where large communities refuse to vaccinate their children. Families who have missed vaccinations and want to catch up will be able to get free catch-up jabs under a $14 million program. Imagine that. You know, you're a bit behind in your jabs and you get a whole bunch of them all at once. That'll be good, double plus good. So I bring you these stories today because they're important, because they're in relation to the 2017 budget. But I bring them to you to consider also in relation to this much touted idea of universal basic income and how those are promoting it don't seem to realise where this is leading. Of course, many people think, you know, forcing parents to vaccinate their kids is great. And, you know, I've had many debates about this on Facebook, and I know that Australia is overloaded with people who think that that's just fine, right? And there's a separate debate to be had about that, which is about understanding why freedom is important, why allowing parents to make their own decisions about how to care for their children is important, rather than just handing over that power. And there's a debate to be had, regardless of whether this is something that is done in law. There is a philosophical debate to be had about whether you as an individual and you as a parent should try to be more responsible for yourself, right? Rather than just accepting what an authority figure tells you you need. And again, this debate goes into the whole question of what is a democracy? What is a free society? What is Western civilization? What have the thousands of years of our development been all about? If you so casually just wave your hand and say, no, you just do whatever you say, doc. You know, you're the doctor. I'm just the little guinea pig here. Stick whatever you want into me, right? See, that attitude, regardless of any kind of legal framework, that attitude itself is indicative of someone who's just not fully alive. Not fully alive on a mental, spiritual plane. Because you've only got to just open your eyes the tiniest little bit, folks. You've only got to just do the tiniest little bit of research to discover that, you know, behind that doctor in the white coat, that there are these vast corporations that make trillions of dollars, and they do so by patenting synthetic chemicals, which often are no better than free natural remedies and vitamins, right? But that they do this because they can patent it and control it, and they can set the price. And it just takes the tiniest bit of research to find out that they are coercing doctors, that the entire medical industry is being coerced by these incredibly powerful organizations that have unlimited funds to push their product on to the general public. And it takes the tiniest amount of research to find out all of the catastrophes there have been with so many of these highly popular pharmaceutical silver bullets that have been handed out. And then you look into universal healthcare. Again, another aspect of this getting stuff for free. And you see, well, universal free healthcare is joined at the hip to the pharmaceutical industry. So it's the pharmaceutical industry who decide what you get for free. You don't get to decide it. And it's not really free because they take this huge chunk out of your tax every year. So I hope that's been some use for you today. Truth News Australia will be back. It's been a great pleasure. See you next week.
Looking for some truth?